B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 5 o'clock hour on the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic, and the 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window, where you're going to get 20% off all windows and doors with no money down, and up to 3 years to pay it off interest free. Just call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit goguida.com. I was reading this interesting story. I think it was on the ESPN website. There's a golfer named Charles Howell III. Have you read this story, Tyrone?
No, I didn't read that.
All right, so it's written by a black golf reporter. And I forget the guy's name. There aren't many black golf reporters. But so he was invited to this pre-tournament soiree in a suite. And a couple Golf Channel people were there. And Charles Howell III, who's a professional golfer, was the guy in the thing. So, you know, it's a small talk thing. And Charles Howell is prompted by some Golf Channel employee to tell the Tiger Woods story. Now, apparently he has told this story before, this Tiger Woods story. So they live in the same area, Isleworth. So when Tiger and Elon had that confrontation,
mm-hmm.
Charles Howell III tried to play a prank on the press. And what he did was he had a friend that had an Escalade, a black Escalade that looked like Tiger's.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went and had a blonde woman with him come on the ride in the Escalade with him, dressed like Tiger Woods, and put himself in blackface.
What?
Yeah, and drove the car around to tease the media, and the media thought it was actually Tiger. And so they followed him, and he said he drove them all. He went to Disney World, and he drove them in this wild goose chase.
Right.
Just to have a fight. And he's telling the story.
To a black journalist?
No, he's just telling the story in general. The black journalist is there observing the story.
Right.
So now it comes to some question and answer. And so the guy asked a legitimate question. The black journalist asked a legitimate question first. And then he said, and then he gave it like an editorial speech about how displeased he was that he told that joke, and he doesn't realize the hurt that he causes, it causes him personally, but having to hear that joke and the whole bit. And Charles Howell didn't like know what to do at the time. So the guy did not make the story public. The story that he now writes is that Charles Howell from that moment on realized what he did and went through this vast sensitivity training and like changed his life completely around, and he wrote the story along those lines. But my question to you is, if you're the black journalist, you're in that informal setting, he tells the joke, do you make that a story?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
No, I would not have made it a story. Because he's just talking. I'm covering golf.
Mm-hmm.
He's just talking about something he did in his own time. I would look at him differently. Like, I have to separate. Like, I have to do that here, not with blackface. I'm saying in my professional capacity, I have to be able to look past certain things, and then because I got to do a job and stuff.
Yeah.
No, I personally would not write about that. That's something he did in private. It would stay private. I would not make that public.
Yeah, the golf journalist's name is Michael Williams. It's on ESPN website. It's on their The Undefeated.
Okay.
So it's a longer story. And the story, the headline says, a PGA veteran's callous joke about blackface and Tiger Woods turned into a lesson on empathy. It's a really interesting story.
Yeah, and people can grow. That's why on this station, unfortunately, somebody was talking about how people can grow. Here's another example of how people can grow, can change their minds, can be better. So I wouldn't out a person. Now, if they did it in public, they get what they get, and then it's news.
Yeah, now, as it turns out, like, he is like a really good friend of Tiger Woods. So they would hang together and play golf together and stuff. So he was actually, in his little unaware world, he was thinking he was helping Tiger Woods. And that's where training comes in, where you have to be forced to look at things a different way that you've never looked at things before.
That is part of why when people say, I have a black friend, how it doesn't save you. Because I can tell you, Tiger Woods and I are very different. Something that Tiger Woods would be okay with might get me to punch you in the face. I'm being serious. Like, there's probably stuff that Tiger would be cool with that I would literally punch a person in the face.
Absolutely.
So that's why you have to get a little bit more representation in your life if you want to use that card than a black friend. Plus, Tiger knows that guy's intentions. Like, in Tiger's opinion, that guy has a good heart.
Yeah.
If I saw that, I'm not going to know that guy's heart. It's a real problem.
Exactly. Now, here's how he tells the story. This guy quotes him as he's telling the story, Charles Howell. Mm-hmm. So a friend of mine in the community drives a black Escalade, very similar to Tiger's. Now, this idea should have ended there because Woods had wrapped his Escalade around a fire hydrant and wasn't driving it. But we took the black Escalade and a friend of ours who happened to be a blonde female. So we put her in the front seat, okay? And then I took a lot of shoe polish and magic marker and whatnot, and I made myself look like Tiger. I put on a black Nike hat with a black Nike swoosh, and we drove out the front gate real slow, and they thought they had found Tiger and Elon. And we saw how far around Orlando we could drive these people. We drove to Disney, and basically they were following us. Literally, we drove through Disney, we drove to Universal Studios, and we just kept driving as far as we could do that. They thought they had found Tiger. That's how he tells the story.
Yeah.
Without, like, not even a...
Well, he didn't even think about it.
No, he didn't think about it. But it's a guy who has been in a kind of a white golf world his entire life and has no concept.
Right. So, not surprised. But at least when he did write it, it's in a redemption. I know that the larger story is that the guy has grown and become better.
Yeah.
So he's not outing him in a way to...
The story is that he then, all of a sudden he took him, after the guy said what he said to him, the journalist, Kenneth Williams, said what he said to him, he went, wow, I had no idea that I was hurting somebody. And then he went on this, disappeared. Like, he disappeared on the face. He felt so bad about it that he disappeared from the golf world for a little bit and sought, like, the sensitivity training and the whole bit. It's a really good story. You gotta check it out. Let's go to Al on a cell. Al, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Al.
Hey, no, Mike.
What's up, Al?
How come the Eagles' defense is getting a pass on that game? As I haven't heard anybody talk about how bad their defense was.
The five scoring drives were from the Eagles 45 on. It wasn't like the defense allowed them to go up and down the field. They gave them five short fields.
Yeah, but they got a new coach. They got a rookie quarterback. Actually, it's his second year, right? The quarterback.
Yeah, he didn't do anything special.
One guy in the end zone was wide open. Nobody was near him.
Yeah, the defense wasn't great, but it's hard to really blame the defense when the biggest scoring drive started at the Eagles 45.
I'm not blaming them, but they were part of that loss, too.
A little bit, not a lot.
I think they could have played a little better. 24 points, that's a lot to win.
But you're not listening to me. It's not that hard for an NFL team. Yeah, they're very short fields. Not just short fields, very short.
But they're a good defense. They should stop them on short fields.
They stopped them a couple times, obviously. But, like, I don't know. It's not an unfair equation with that kind of field position.
But I've been I've been out medically for a while. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to call you in a while. The last time I talked to you, I wasn't too healthy.
Well, how are you feeling now there?
I'm feeling a lot better.
All right, that's good.
A lot better.
Yeah,
well, so you'll be hearing from me more.
What was going on with you?
I had open heart surgery.
Oh, my.
September 16th last year, almost a day over a year now.
Thankfully you pulled through, man.
And it worked.
Yeah, well, good for you. You're feeling better now. All right, what'd you have, bad habits? Were you smoking?
No, I stopped smoking 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, but you probably had 25 years worth of smoking in you.
I had calcium deposits wrapped around my heart.
All right, well, you take care of yourself. Calcium deposits around the heart are no good.
No.
With that raspy voice, somebody just said, is that Frankie Five Angels they just called him? Frankie Five Angel-esque.
Yeah, his voice. I'm glad he quit smoking, and I hope he does
sound
well.
Sound like a smoker.
Right, but with that voice, makes it sound like if you gave up 25 years ago, what are you, 90? Because it feels like you had to smoke a long time to get that voice. That's how it sounds.
Mr. Pantanzley, where do you currently live?
Right now, I live in an army barracks with the FBI.
You know, I wish they could ever, they would have done a movie back in the day about the brother.
Vincenzo Pantangeli?
Uh-huh, go over to Italy. Because clearly he's a real deal, keep his brother from snitching.
What was that tie he had on?
I don't know. I thought you would know. I thought it was like an Italian thing from back in the day.
No idea, man.
I don't know what that tie was.
Little dingle balls on it.
Yeah, it doesn't say a word.
I don't know what that was.
Comes in, and then, but he scared him straight. Like, what? I want to learn about this guy's story.
La familia es tu posto.
Hagen says to him.
The next thing you know, he said, dude, I just told him what they wanted to hear, you know. Corleone did. It's Corleone that. And it's all over.
Yeah, some deal I made. My life won't be worth a nickel tomorrow.
Let's go to LG in Florida. LG, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. LG. What's this? We got a serenade? What is this?
Did he put you on hold?
LG, am I on your... He might have put me on hold. He has music.
Is this LG? What's going on? Hey, what's going on?
What's up with the music, LG? What are you doing?
I didn't have the music going. Whose
music? We got this mysterious harp in the background.
Yeah, I heard that harp. I didn't know what that was. I mean,
we still have it. All right, do me a favor. Do your call with the music. I think this is a good moment. Could be for sports radio history. I like it. Go ahead. Go ahead and talk about with the backdrop with the harp. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm just saying. My position was, I'm just trying to see that. Why is Ben Simmons still preaching?
I didn't hear what you said because I listened to the harp. What? I'm sorry, what was the question? It's a good harp.
I'm trying to find out why. I don't know what this harp music is. I hear it.
This is awesome. Give me your question. I'll try to concentrate. Go ahead.
Wow. Yeah, I'm wondering. The question is, why is Ben Simmons still a 76er? Why haven't... I mean, hey, listen.
Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to trade him?
Yes.
Wow, they're in flux right now. They have a new coach. Once they get a new coach, we'll see where they want to go. I think they want to try it out with a new coach.
Hey, listen.
This is awesome.
I'm just saying,
hold a second, LG. I got to put you on hold. I got to put you on hold here.
Are we in heaven?
I think I kind of like the backdrop. What do you think? We should have that kind of backdrop for calls. What do you think?
Well,
let me see if LG's still there. Hey, LG, you still there? Yeah, he's still there. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, no,
he's definitely doing this.
It has to be him.
Yeah, he's got the harp thing off.
Their plan is to not trade you the guy. That's their real plan.
Yeah. All right, let me get back to him. LG, sorry, man. We got music in the back of your call. I don't know where it's coming from. But
I don't know
where
it's coming from.
Yeah,
I'm thinking you guys had it on your.
No. I don't know. It's either a phone glitch or you're playing with us. But your question about why they get rid of Ben Simmons, they're not going to get rid of Ben Simmons. The plan is to hire a new coach to see if they can make it work with these two.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I'm just saying, is this game going to improve? I'm just saying, it had 3 years.
Well, we shall see. The only thing, the only pertinent question is, will he shoot jump shots? And my answer to that is no, he won't, which means they're going to have to force him somehow. And the only way they can force him is to sit him. So we'll see if the new coach, armed with a new multi-year deal and armed with veteran status, in this case, D'Antoni or Lou or Donovan, will actually take that kind of a step and force him that way. It's like corporal punishment. Will that happen? That remains to be seen. That is the main issue going into the year, even bigger than the Embiid issue. The Simmons issue and the new coach. Will the new coach be able to get him to shoot a basketball? What are you feeling?
I feel like no. But I think that these playoffs and the microscope of some of these guards that are probably, he probably feels like are passing him, might force his hand. Because now most people think, people coming in the year didn't think Murray was better. Now pretty much everyone, for example, thinks Murray's better.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't even think Jimmy Butler was better. They think it now. Mm-hmm. So it's like younger guys and older guys kind of passing him. And I think that he's, I do think he's a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he's a competitor. I just hope he...
What do you think he's thinking when he sees Murray and them?
He's probably thinking about, at first, what the stuff he can do that Murray can't. He's probably thinking about how he's a better post player, how he's a better defender. That's probably what he thinks at first. But then when you see the results, I think he then has
He's seen the dude take over games.
Right.
Where before, like, Murray wasn't that. Now he's that.
Yeah, he wasn't
so
that.
So, like, if I'm Ben Simmons, what would my reaction be to that? Do you have... Do you think it makes him feel bad in any way that, like, I can be that if I wanted to?
I hope so. What I hope he doesn't do is say, you see, Jokic is better than Embiid. I don't want him to go there. I hope he goes to himself. If Embiid was doing different stuff, I could do that. Like, I hope he doesn't go into the blame game. I hope he looks at himself. But I don't know. Because they don't hate each other, but I do think there might be some friction in that way.
Well, this is the big mystery. The Sixers have a big mystery. They hire D'Antoni. It's going to be like, what kind of style will he play? And how will he make Ben Simmons flourish? How will that happen? How will he make Embiid flourish, for that matter? Because, you know, he's shown a tendency to go the other way, away from the center.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that at least for the first year with this job, you're going to have to play with these two guys. They'll probably try to change the guys around them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these two come with the job.
Yep.
It's kind of like this car comes with these tires.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get new tires till these ones don't work anymore.
All right, Matthew and Cherry Hill. You're a 97.5 Fanatic. Matthew.
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me call in. I have a bit of a hot take. I want to get your guys' opinion. Given the offensive line and how horrible it looks, Carson Wentz has never really experienced anything below above average offensive line. Do you think this is the year he finally takes that next step? Because he has to get the ball out of his hand and he has to, you know, make sure not to fumble since the guys are always coming in.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't even know what to think about this guy anymore. I really do not. I you know, hopefully they see some things that they can do with him in the game plan and make it easier on him. I have no idea whether a bad offensive line is going to want to make him escape. They have taught him the opposite, not to escape. They wanted to keep him in the pocket all this time. So I have no idea whether he's confused in his own head, whether we've overvalued his ability, whether he's incapable of learning. I don't know. I have no idea what to think of number 11.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I feel like he lives by the, you know, escaping out of the pocket and extending the play, and that's what made him so great. And now he's just in a bit of a bind where he wants to escape, but he also needs to stay healthy.
Yeah, they could have made it a lot easier on him last week. I mean, it's not that hard to call plays with a three-step drop, get the ball out, do a screen to keep him honest, like, do some things. I mean, coach the damn game, for crying out loud.
Oh, 100%. And then I don't know if you guys heard a while back Jimmy Butler talking to J.J. Redick about the Sixers, and he was talking about how when he got there, he immediately realized there is no leadership. Do you think that was more Brett Brown, or do you think that's more of the...
I think he was talking about Brett Brown.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, so let's hope for the best when Brett Brown gets out of here.
All right, man.
And the new coach.
All right, you got it. I appreciate the call. By the way, that J.J. Redick, he's a snake.
Yeah, he is.
He is, because he knows exactly what he's doing. He's smart enough to manipulate dudes and getting his own agenda out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Kevin Durant just did, you know, that he was on the J.J. Redick podcast. Mm-hmm. And what did he say?
He said that it's hard for those two guys to be great with their teammates changing every year.
Yeah, so J.J. goes these guys in it, throwing a little shot.
Because that's what J.J. thinks.
Yeah.
Because Embiid's his man, and he knows that him and Embiid had a good thing going. So now, see, without me, see, J.J., Embiid, now that he's like... Because that's what he wants to say.
See, we thought that in J.J. Redick before he became a Sixer, and we think it after now. You know, he had that Duke guard punkiness in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it's that's and who he is.
And
that's
we is. Tolerate it here because he could fire. But, you know, he's once a Duke punk, always.
Yeah, I take him back, though.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, let's get the final Twitter poll numbers. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or you can give them a call. They have safe contactless pickup at their place in Doylestown, PA. Natalie Egan, our final numbers.
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,000 votes on today's poll. The Flyers are clearly on an uptick. Which management team, that means the owner, GM, and coach, do you trust the most? 12% say the Phillies, 82% say the Eagles, 6% say the Sixers.
All righty. Sounds good. What is this? I was looking at this video on social media. I don't know when this happened. Josh Donaldson hit a monster home run. And he rounded the bases, and when he crossed the plate, he dirtied the plate to show up the umpire.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Today.
Today it happened?
Uh-huh.
So he hits the home run. He was obviously displeased with the umpire, hits a home run. When he crossed the plate, dirties the umpire so the umpire would have to clean off home plate. The umpire ejected him immediately.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, that I hate umpires.
I hate umpires too. But here's the thing. If you struck out because he made a bad call, then that's one thing. He hit a home run despite the umpire's bad call.
Well, I don't know if that was his first at bat or not. He could have struck out the previous time.
Okay.
I'm coming back.
But still, I mean, he got what he wanted. He got a home run out of it. You know?
Or he could have been having a teammate back as well. Umpires are ridiculous.
Yeah, there's no reason to throw him out there.
No.
I don't think.
Even if you make somebody from his team come clean the plate off, the bat boy or somebody come do it, you don't throw him out of the game.
That is hysterical.
They act like people tune in to see them.
He came across home plate and dirtied the plate, and the umpire just tossed him right away.
Uh-huh.
And then he came back and re-dirtied it.
Of course, you get your money's worth at that point.
Oh, that's hysterical. All right, let's go Khalif in Upper Darby. Khalif, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Khalif.
Hey, guys. Guys, I think we all are logical. We all have common sense. I'm still banging my head over the fact. My thing is, if you're going to put together a track team, you're going to go get fast people. You're not going to go get slow people that got the potential to be fast. I also understand why the Sixers are drafting people number one and number two that can't shoot at all. Can't make a brick. Can't do nothing. Markel Fultz.
Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Markel Fultz was a shooter when they drafted him. And if apparently you forget how he played in the summer league after they drafted
Ben
him.
Simmons.
Oh, well, all right. Shoot. Ben Simmons was the best player. Hold on a second. Ben Simmons was the best player in the draft at the time.
How are you the best player? You can't shoot.
He was the best player in the draft. Now, the fact that he didn't shoot came later.
No,
but he was the best player in the draft. There's nobody that wouldn't have taken him with the number one pick. Nobody would have not taken him.
Basketball is shooting.
I got you, Khalif. But you're talking about at the time they were drafted. And you can't have the information.
Putting an illogical argument. When you draft a player, he has to be able to shoot. He has middle school. He has high school. He has college to learn how to shoot. He don't learn how to shoot in the NBA. What is he dreaming of? Cherry picking and get a cherry pick? Winning basket? They dream of having a winning shot.
Uh-oh.
Did you get it all out?
It just makes no sense. It's not logical. It makes no sense. You have to be
able to govern. Yeah, Khalif, I'm not disagreeing with you, and I'm glad you got that out. At the time of the draft, Ben Simmons was the consensus best player in the draft. Now, he didn't shoot a lot at LSU, but he shot enough, right? He shot at LSU. I don't know why he is afraid to shoot now. But you're talking about, like, after-the-fact judgments. At the time, Marco Fultz didn't have a problem shooting a basketball. He didn't have a problem. There was no question about whether he was going to shoot a basketball.
No question.
So, like, I hear where you're frustrated now, but at the time you're drafting, both of those draft picks made sense. A lot of sense.
Also, Ben shot less in his second year than he did his first year. There was actually some encouraging signs in the first year that mm-hmm. there might be something to build on. And then when he came back for year two, he shot less. And then in year three, he made a three, but he still mm-hmm. didn't shoot. He's actually yeah. headed the wrong way. But after the rookie year, it looked like maybe he might shoot.
There was no crystal ball at the time that would have revealed to you that Markelle Fultz was going to get this weird brain thing about shooting a basketball and that Ben Simmons would somehow get a similar brain thing and not shoot a basketball. So if you had that crystal ball, then you could have made a better pick, I assume. All right, let's go Will in Downingtown. Will, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Will.
Yo, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Will?
I just wanted to talk about how impressed I am with, like, the whole Denver Nuggets organization, especially, you know, Murray and Jokic. I mean, those 50-point games and then now what they're doing. I mean, there was a time when I would take Ben and Joe 10 times out of 10 over mm-hmm. those pair, but not even close anymore.
They're a very well-coached team. Jamal Murray has turned into a superstar. Jokic is so multifaceted. And guess what? They found a coach. Oh, my God. They found a coach within the NBA ranks that did a really good job, like Nick Nurse, Malone, all that, you know, those guys. You can find them.
Well, the Sixers thought they had one, and they held on to him for a real long time.
Yeah. Well, I'm more impressed with the Heat. I think the Heat has put together components that work, and it's amazing the foresight they had to put them together.
Yeah, it's so fun watching the playoffs this year when, like, Golden State, you know, in their heyday, and LeBron, mm-hmm. it would just be iso ball at the end of games.
Yep.
That Toronto Celtics series, just so much movement. You see Norman mm-hmm. Powell hitting the shots. It's, like, really refreshing to see, like, real basketball being played again.
Yeah, it really is. I miss it. All right, man. Yeah, I miss it. I wish the Sixers would have developed like that. We'd be watching them in a bubble in their Final Four. Be nice.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
Yeah, but here
and
we are.
Now they are so far away. Yep.
Yeah, but I still think they're going to get there and laugh, hopefully.
When? Next year?
Yeah. And it'll be without Jimmy Butler, which makes me happier. Because I don't want him really a part of my success.
Yeah, your stubbornness is biting you in the rear end.
I just don't like Jimmy Butler. You don't have to like everybody in life. At least I can own my dislike. Some people fake like they don't dislike. I like who I like, and I dislike who I dislike, and I dislike Coffee Man.
Would you try his coffee?
No.
I dislike.
Not even a sip?
Coffee Man.
Yeah, I don't like him. So I'm not going to fake like I like him. I'm out on Coffee Man.
Yeah, I can tell that.
Don't like him.
You'll take J.J. Redick back, but you're going to take Jimmy Butler back?
Yep.
Really?
Wow.
See, you need some coffee.
No, JJ.
You need coffee.
Butler's a better player. No, Butler's a better player, but I don't, as bad as JJ is, he was here longer.
This is unlike hatred in the past. Like the hatred for Sidney Crosby, you would say, I'd love to have him.
Yeah, I don't hate Sidney Crosby at all. I like Sidney Crosby.
All right, what you're saying is you hate a player, even though they would make your team better, you wouldn't want him.
If he was back and they won, I'd celebrate the victory. But I don't like Jimmy. I don't like guys that insist upon themselves.
I get to.
Crosby.
Oh, all right.
Crosby.
Use that for an example of somebody that would be hated, that we mock all the time. People say, I don't want him. He's an ex-Penguin.
Yeah.
Or he's an ex-Celtic.
Yeah, I don't go that far with most. But certain guys get on my nerves, and it's the Anne Hathaway, Bono, Jimmy Butler archetype that I can't stand. If you're insisting upon yourself, I'm out. when you got to tell people about what you're doing. There are certain podcasters I can't stand because, oh, I had to do 4 podcasts this week. Oh, shut the heck up. I do radio every damn day for years. Like, well, you know, I'm working like, so hard.
Who's saying that?
Like, I don't want to give names, but people do that. Oh, I work so hard. I have to do a job and have to go do my podcast. Every time someone does it, my instinct is to slap them. Jimmy does that. I'm the hardest working guy. I'm up there. I'm the earliest. And he's telling, if other people say it about him, fine. Roy Halladay was the first to arrive and the last leave. He literally was when he was here with the Phillies and with Toronto. Other people said it. It wasn't Roy Halladay going, I'm the first one to get here. Stop insisting upon yourself and shut up, Jimmy, Bono, Anne Hathaway, Philadelphia podcasters.
Hathaway sneaks in here.
I know. I don't know why she insisted upon herself.
Oh, my art. And when I was in Les Mis, shut up.
I don't know where this comes from.
I know. This Anne Hathaway thing is interesting.
I know.
I think it deserves a psychological look.
I'm going to dive deep.
Yeah.
We have time in here.
Thesis.
Yeah.
Of some sort. Coming up, it's a Sound Off right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You gotta be faking me. What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
All right, it's time for Sound Off, and now a regular evening feature. Back with Sound Off, 610-771-9705. That's the number. If you got something to say, hit us up on that line and leave a message. And it may get published on the big show. Let's see what we have today.
John Middleton, I am calling you out. Your president of baseball operations, McPhail, has been a McFailure. Your GM that McFailure hired traded away the best pitching prospect in 30 years in this city and clearly has zero idea how to build a bullpen.
Yeah, you know, see, the Sixto Sanchez thing, I draw a line on making the Phillies culpable because they got a really good player out of that. They traded a guy who kind of still was struggling with injury problems, was in single A. I mean, I could justify that. The bullpen, I can't.
Hector Neris, please report to the Bagster. Hector Neris, to the Bagster, please. You are no longer needed. We're becoming the team and teams of blown leads, and it's disturbing.
We are becoming the team of blown leads? I mean, that's been their MO the whole year. It's disgraceful that they assembled the bullpen like that. It's disgraceful how they've tried to fix it. They traded away, they got rid of the same guys they acquired. Now, I don't know how that's supposed to help.
I say, let's just decide now to start Sudfeld this week. I think we got to keep Hurts for later in the season when Wentz inevitably goes down, but I saw the highlights from that Rams-Cowboy game. That line is significantly better than yards.
So you're saying that they should start Sudfeld because Wentz will get hurt against the Rams? Is that what he said? Just said?
I guess.
Yeah, you got to try to win the game with your best, and if he gets hit, he gets hit. And that's the way it goes.
So, Mike, a random thought. Elton Brand kept Brett Brown and let Jimmy Butler leave, only to turn around this year and fire Brett Brown because he realized Brett Brown wasn't a good enough coach, and he was probably more of the problem of why that team doesn't win as opposed to them winning.
Yeah, it's very evident right now if you can connect the two dots. But again, these decisions that we talk about after the fact, we have already the information. At the time, they weren't ready to fire Brett because of the way they lost to Toronto. So they kept him. If Jimmy was a casualty, fine. They should have probably worked it out with Jimmy and not made it a casualty. I always think there's a way to work things out and try to keep them both. But they decided they didn't want the hassle, and they thought they were going to be just as good, which they were not. And so here we are, back to square one.
I know the bullpen and Klentak, they're going to get a lot of heat today, and deservedly so. But can we finally, somebody, call out Bryce Harper? He has been absolutely terrible. He's fifth in RBIs on the team. Gene Segura is about to pass him. Harper has been an absolute bust.
It's very disappointing. I wouldn't exactly call him a bust. It is very disappointing that he's been unable to lead this team and go through a slump when they need him the most. And I'm not going to slough that off. But again, I will tell you that he's the least of my problems with this team.
Sorry, it's been a while. This is the year 2020 calling. Been kind of busy with unleashing a pandemic and now a whole slew of natural disasters. Just calling to let you guys know that I will be opening up the Ark of the Covenant on Sunday and unleashing Aaron Donald on that weak offensive line. He's going to come through there and fold Nate Urbag up like a beach chair at Mikey Miss's house.
It makes him think I have a beach chair.
Well,
Dino?
Yeah, I know.
Well,
you know, beach chair. It's the flimsiest purchase you could ever have.
Not unless you invest in a good one.
They're all aluminum. So, yeah, I put them in the garage. They rust.
There's Tommy Bahama ones.
No, I fight it.
I got one with a nice cover over so I get shade.
Yeah,
I've had it for years.
You've had it for years.
Yeah, I keep it indoors.
The backpack one?
Yeah, I keep it indoors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if you have them at the shore, the air is always moist. They're going to rust down. The ones I bought are going to be rusted by next year.
My gosh.
You know what I'm saying? It's a terrible purchase.
The scary thing about the Wentz versus Foles argument is it's not so much that Foles is a mediocre quarterback who's had a mediocre career and will continue to have that, if that, because it's obviously what happened. But that it seems like Carson's headed down that same career path.
Yeah, but they backed it up. See, this is the thing. I assume we forget it. We've been trying to tell you all this time. They backed it up. They're telling you what they're going to do. Well, you don't even have to worry about Wentz anymore. Am I right?
You're moving ahead.
Don't worry about it. You got the guy. I mean, the new toys. You shot him off in 2 years. You trade Wentz next year or 2 years, and then you can trade Ertz. You know, it's a new dawn. Close it down.
That's the best of the best today on Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are you?
Because I don't like
them. Then bring it. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets up.
See you later.
All right, listen up! That was a bad Anthony Gargano, but that's what I was trying to do because the cuz is coming up. All right, listen up. Do we have the listen up, Sam? Oh, listen up. He does the commercial.
Pretty good.
With the listen up. Nah, I didn't do it good. Anyway, the Cuz's Corner is from Parks tonight. So stay tuned for that following this particular program. And Devon Givens will take you through the rest of the night on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned for the warm up and Philly's pregame show and Phil's baseball. Mickey Moniak in his starting lineup tonight. Everybody have a great rest of the night. Be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.